Welcome to another episode of Life Chat with Viv and Vil. Vilma and I are so excited to have you join us today. This is a very unprecedented week, would you say, Vilma?
It is.
We have the election. This is the longest I've ever seen election in my entire life being this long.
It is not so much the election, but getting the results from the election. Normally for presidential elections, the results are most times available the night of the election itself. But this seems to be going on for a few days and may continue for even a week.
Wow. Wow. So as you guess, audience, this is what we will be talking about today. We'll be talking about the election. We'll be talking about our governmental system. And we have a special guest with us today. We have Ron Davis, and my co-host and I will be, and Ron will be chit-chatting about this very topic. Vilma, what do you have to say about this very interesting topic?
First of all, I know that we all are responsible citizens and we all went out to vote. But before we get into it, I just want to remind our audience how they can get in touch with us if they need to send us an email or if they need to get additional programs. Some may be listening for the first time. So we are on Facebook, Live Chat with Viv and Vil. That's our Facebook name. You can also email us at livechatbibandvil@gmail.com. We also have a website, which is livechatwithbibandvil.com. And we recently started a YouTube channel. However, our YouTube channel at the moment is audio only. Beginning next year, 2021, we will be both audio and visual. Okay. You can also find our shows on Vital GH Radio, and we are on every day, and also on Spotify, Google Podcasts, iTunes, iHeartRadio. And I think that's about it.
Yep, that's a big list. So, go back to my question. Election, yes. What's your thoughts about this?
Well, first of all, I think there are a number of people who may be disappointed on us still counting the ballots and the way in which it looked as if the election results are going to pan out to be. What do you think?
You're talking to me or Ron? Which one? You want to know what to think? Me?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, for myself, I'm like, okay, this is still going on. Oh my God. Like you just said earlier, typically we know the results at the end of the night or you wake up the next morning and you get the result who's president. But now it's just feel like it's just going on for eternity. But we just basically have to be patient and wait to see. And every count need to be counted. That's my views on that.
Every vote needs to be counted.
Exactly. Right. Every vote mm-hmm. needs to be counted.
That's correct. So, let me ask our special guest here today, what are your thoughts about what is happening right now in the country regarding our election?
Well, first of all, thank you very much for having me, ladies. I enjoy listening to your show periodically, and I just want to congratulate you on the fantastic job you're both doing. So, thank you for this opportunity. Currently, well, as far as the election is concerned, we've been having the election going on for the past 4 years, just coming down to now the final months, but I'm hoping that we can move to a shorter system. That's just my preference. You can't turn the radio on. You can't turn the television on. Your mail is cluttered with posters from various candidates. It's just, I find, personally speaking, overwhelming. Their text messages, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, TikTok, just about every medium. So I think if you're in this country and you don't know what's taking place right now, you're in serious trouble. As a matter of fact, I have friends from different countries and they've all been following this closely and still are. So it's an exciting time, but it's just a very long process. So having said that, let me just speak of this from a Christian perspective. I know Christians are on both sides of the political spectrum. Mm-hmm. Some are Republicans and some are Democrats and some are independents. I am speaking to those who are born again Christians who have chosen a political party. And for whatever reason, that is fine. We have to have difference of opinion because mm-hmm. we are born again. Doesn't mean that we have to be like-minded.
Right.
We might not support the same thing. But what I do think is very important from a Christian perspective is that we let the Lord lead us in how we make our decisions. Mm-hmm. There are websites that are up that list candidates and what they stand for. So we go and we select based on that. Now, we have certain standards. I mean, they're the Catholics and evangelicals will take the position of the life in the womb, support against abortion. They're evangelical Christians and Pentecostals and those who've taken a stand against gay marriage, believe in marriages between one man and a woman and not same-sex marriage. So Christians come to the polls with different opinions.
Right.
And that is fine if we take a different opinion, but it is, what does the scripture say? And I guess at the end of the day, some of us are going to interpret the scripture how we choose to. Mm-hmm. So I want to expand some more and just from my position, my thoughts on, you know, how do we as Christians go about selecting the candidate, be they Republican or Democrat?
Okay, so thank you. We will continue and we will give you an opportunity to expand on what your thoughts are. But one thing, Vivillin, and I'm not sure if you are aware, there were a number, of prayer vigils that were going on. There were a number of predictions from various prophets, and there were, you know, so many coming together, fasting and prayer, which is good. And I think as a church, our prayers are important, but there were an abundance. There were more talk about prayer vigil and having these prayers. And I do believe that God answers prayers. And one of the things that I want to reassure Christians that in the end, if you have prayed and asked God, which I know there were a number of people, then allow God to make the final decision or just watch him work through whatever decision is made.
Right.
Because in the end, once I pray about something, even if the results may not be what I want, mm-hmm. I do believe that God is in control.
That's right.
So that's the first thing I want to put out there to all those who may be listening, all those who are Christians, is that you have prayed, you have done your part, and God's thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways.
Right.
So we need to just relax and know that He knows what He's doing. He's been doing this for years. He's been doing this from the foundations of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
So I think He's well equipped. I think He is well aware of what He's doing. And I think what better person to leave this, what better person's hand to leave this in but Him. So that's the first thing that I want to put out there to all those who are listening. Having said that, and Ron, you mentioned some things that abortion, same-sex marriage, and I'm not sure if you said a third thing, that a number of people have, you know, they are holding on to, and that helps them, or they use that to determine who they are going to vote for. Was that what you wanted to expand on?
Yeah, the third, religious freedom. That's the third one they always stick with, is religious freedom.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Religious freedom.
Go ahead, Ron. I'm sorry.
Okay, so from my perspective, I want to share with our audience that if you are taken as a Christian, if we're taking the position, let me rephrase that, if we're taking the position of anti-abortion and we are against the unborn being killed from the womb, that is good. But what I want to do is to say that as a Christian, Christ said, we ought to love one another.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that there are Christians who take the position of anti-abortion, but they will not support life after the person is born, after the child is born. They've taken a position that we would rather support corporate welfare than those who need a helping hand. We will not support the schools. We should not pay taxes to support our schools where a child can get an education. They're Christians who are against SNAP programs where children need help after they're born. And again, it's okay to go out, and they don't have a problem whether it's the police or those who would take weapons of mass destruction and would go out and murder people, as long as it's not their family, they're okay with that. And so my position is, if I'm supporting life as a Christian, and I just don't support life in the womb, I support life totally. I take the position, because this is what I think Christ would want me to do. If I'm going to support, if the child comes into this earth, let's not neglect that child.
Mm-hmm.
If the mother needs a helping hand, let's help her. There are programs that we should support. Let's support minimum wage, a decent minimum wage, a livable wage, wherein if it's someone that can't afford to take care of their child, if they're working, they have to work two or three jobs.
Mm-hmm.
What that says to me is that they don't have time to spend with the child to raise the child, because they have to be working two or three jobs. And so let's look at life from that perspective, not just in the mother's womb, but let's look at it as Christian, as life in general. We want to support life where it is. If it's wrong, there's some wonderful police officers out there, but there are few that will take the life of people of color without thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems to be okay with some Christians. And I have a problem with that, because if life is important, Jesus says we ought to love one another. And because we're going to love one another, we ought to care about each other. And so as a Christian, I have to take the position that, yes, it's the movement which says Black Life Matters. I have to take the position, yes, that Black Lives Matter, all lives matter. But the phrase Black Life Matters is only represented because we see daily on television where their lives are being taken. We go back to lynching from the days of slavery, and it continues to this day. And so as a Christian, we ought to take the position in voting and supporting a candidate that says life is important to me in whatever form, whether it's before, I ought to care about my brother, I ought to care about my sister. Does this candidate care about people?
Right. Yeah, that's true, because it's important. You can't say you're against abortion, but you're not willing to take care of that child. You're not willing to put programs in place and different things to help that mother or help that family to continue. Yeah, I agree with you. All lives matter. Every life matter. But I know sometimes when it comes to Black Lives Matter, some people shun away from that. We might not in agreement with the organization with certain things, but in a sense, Black lives do matter. Hispanic lives do matter. And when we have a situation where we have killings for Black life being taken, we have to realize too that, you know, some people say, well, all lives matter. Yes, it does. But at this point, when we have a killing of a Black person, it's almost like you have a house in a community and everyone's house is in this particular community, but my house is on fire. Therefore, my house is more important at this moment. And that doesn't mean that your house is not important, but at this moment, my house is on fire. So if that's the case, when a Black life is taken at this time, it matters. And we want to put some, we want to highlight that at this particular moment that, hey, we are important. Hey, we are significant. Hey, we are someone. We just need you to recognize that we are a part of the human race also. So yeah, I agree with you.
So in other words, I think what I'm hearing is that as Christians, yes, it is wrong for you to, the Bible talks about, you know, killing and abortion, and you're not supporting abortion, you're not supporting gay marriages, and you want to be a friend of Israel. That's the other one, because we know that is scriptural. However, you are saying that life, when you say don't kill, it encompasses from the womb to the tomb. Is that what I'm getting? So life is, the sanctity of life goes from then until the person dies naturally, or from, you know, some illness or the other, but not being gunned down. Okay, good. That's good. So let's go back to, again, to the election. One of the things that I am thinking about, one of the things as I was praying and asking God's direction, one of the things that came, you know, very forcible to me was man's heart. Because regardless of what your belief is, regardless of what political party that you support, whether it's Democrat, Independent, or Republican, God is looking at the heart of men. If he gets your heart, if he is able to, you know, make that connection, that relationship, then you will be able to do what he wants you to. You'll be able to follow his principles. Mm-hmm. So I'm not looking at what one party says or do, but I'm looking and I'm obeying what God wants me to do. because he has my heart. What do you think about that?
Well, it's always a matter of the heart. If we're doing something, there's a scripture that says, yeah, the heart is desperately wicked, is deceitful and desperately wicked above all things. And who can know but I, the Lord? And so God is saying that, hey, what we might do, I could fool you, but I can't fool God.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's important as Christians that we do things from our heart, a heart of love, not just because they're different type of, when we say the heart physically might be the same. And when we speak, we're speaking about your emotions, your thought, your practices, your beliefs. So when we talk about the heart, that's what we're talking about. Yes, we all have the heart which beats and pumps the blood through the body, but this is what we're talking about. And so the scripture tells us that God looks at the heart. And so for me as a Christian, I've got to make sure that whatever it is I'm doing, I do it from righteous perspective. Am I going to support a candidate that does not, is against the word of God? I can't. Am I going to support a candidate that knowingly steals or cheats? I can't. There's a scripture in Proverbs chapter 6. It says these six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. And so I've got to make sure when I'm looking at a candidate who I'm going to vote for, how do they measure up? They might not be a Christian, but how do they measure? It doesn't mean that because you're not a Christian, you can't be a morally upright person, because it's one of the things that should encourage us as Christians to run for office. But sometimes we choose not to. Mm-hmm. And so there is a standard. And one of the ways that we can raise that standard is if we get in the race. But we ought to look at for candidates that are upright and moral, and represent, even if they're not Christian, represent the things that are pleasing in the sight of God.
Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely. That's, and a matter of fact, the two that's running right now, they both say they're Christians. So, where does that leave us all? They're both saying they're Christians. They're both saying, they live according to godly standards. But going back to what Vilma says, it's basically, we have to be directed by God, or we have to look at, or, but Ronnie, you even said that too, looking at the heart of the person and seeing how God is leading you to the candidate that you want. Because they're both are saying that they're Christians. They both are saying God name and that they honor the Bible.
Right. Yes, I hear you. And I go back to rules are there, but the Bible tells us that God will write the laws in our heart. And the rules are there, but what is going to make me keep the rules? What is going to make me wanting to do that? Because I want to please God. So it's about what my heart is telling me. So if there are policies and rules, people, if their heart is not, right, they can circumvent any rule that is there and do what they want to. It's like holding up something to show to the world, to hide what you're doing behind what you hold up. It's like a paragon of virtue. I hold up this law, but I do whatever else I want to do underneath, as long as the law is covering me. But God wants to uncover us so that we lay before him bare and naked. So he can see or, you know, expose what we are doing in the dark or what we are hiding behind. And that's the thing that makes me a little bit concerned about how some people, you know, go about their beliefs and hold it up. It's like they hold up some of these beliefs as the be all and end all, and do behind these beliefs everything else that God detests. Hmm. What's your thoughts on that, Bivillin?
Yeah, that's true. You know, we do see exhibiting in this election a lot of things that I'm like, wow. You know, we holding certain candidates right now. For my thing is that I see people, especially now in society and in the Christian arena, and being that I'm a Christian myself, I see where a lot of people who are quote unquote Christians, it's almost like they're holding up one candidate like he's like an idol or a figure higher than that. It's like they feel like this is the sent one or whatever. He is the great one or whatever. I don't know, but I never have experienced that before where Christians have done the things they have done this election season that I've seen in my entire time of voting or being in this country, where people are praying certain prayers. Like a certain individual told me that they want a prayer line this week, you know, trying to pray for the election, and that they were praying that it would rain and have a bad storm, and that people will be confused in the voting booth of voting for one candidate over another. And they're praying that Democrats will die. And I'm like, oh my God, this is crazy. This is weird. Those are witchcraft prayers. You can't be a Christian. And like Ron was saying earlier, you can't be a Christian and not think about love. You're thinking about a division of saying, these set of people who are so-called Democrats are, you know, they're demons or devils or whatever they may be, and praying for death for them, and you're a Christian, and you're supposed to be exhibiting the love of Christ. You know, those are the things that I'm hearing. I never experienced this myself, but this is a really good friend of mine who told me that she was on a couple of prayer lines and she had to get off because of the witchcraft prayers that she have experienced, you know, during the season. And the way that I see people are holding up one candidate over another, or holding up this election like this is it, this is the all in all, our lives going to be over if one candidate win over versus another. And to me, that's ridiculous, because there is no candidate can bring salvation. Only one person can bring salvation, that is God. Only one person that can save, and that is God. And there is no one, none of the candidates, neither Republican, Democrats, or conservative, can save lives. And if we're talking about those issues that they're bringing up, you know, we have Saudi Arabia is a country that's against abortion is banned. Homosexuality is banned. In Saudi Arabia, religious freedom is things that they're for. And yet we wouldn't consider them a righteous nation. So, you know, that's just my thoughts.
Yeah, it is frightening to see the pedestal that Christians have put their political candidate, more so at the top of the ticket, the presidential, the others, they not so much, but they're certainly at the presidential level, that they've actually made them idols. Mm-hmm. And it is frightening to think that we as Christians, or if we've been born again and know the Lord as our personal Savior, where we're elevating a candidate, a man, to a level that exceeds, or we esteem them more than the Word of God.
Yes.
And it doesn't matter which candidate, we've seen this taken. It is important that we cast down that idol.
That's right.
We get over. I have a football team. I love my football team. I cheer for my football team. But I cannot put my football team above my God. That's and right. Neither am I going to put a political candidate. And so it's okay to cheer for your team and to support your team. But when you're a candidate exceeds the Word of God, you know, this person is not, I mean, I remember one lady said, well, we're not looking for a choir boy when the candidate was pointed out their lifestyle did not fit with the Word of God. And this was a Christian. She proclaimed to be a Christian. She said, well, we're not looking for a choir boy. And that frightens me to think that as a Christian, we could take that stand.
I hear you, loud and clear. It's like putting the creation above the creator.
That's right.
You know, and which is wrong. And I also, what I see happening is people taking parts of the Bible and that suits what they do and discard the rest of it. But you have to see the Bible as a whole. The entire Bible is what we need to govern our lives as Christians, not pieces of it, not when it suits us. And regardless of who goes against the Word of God, it is wrong. It is wrong. If it's my family, or it is still wrong. It is against the Word of God. And I am just very concerned when we allow this to show really what our thinking is, and we can be so divisive and go after each other. And as you mentioned, Vivian, pray those prayers. And I am sure God is not pleased. I am sure, and I'm not saying we can have different opinions. Of course you can, but you need to lovingly interact with other people and pray for them. Yes,
that's right.
Because the Bible talks about praying for one another. Mm-hmm. But the rhetoric and the divisiveness, and I am just, it's frightening. It is frightening.
Yes, definitely. Go ahead.
The other thing that I was thinking about, and the Matthew, I think 26, I think it is, that talks about hypocrites and whitewashed tombs and the Pharisees would always hold up the law, but yet it was just a show. The law was above Christ. Mm-hmm. The law was there to point us to Christ, and Christ fulfilled the law. But they hold it up, and as long as I am checking off every box, then I'm fine. But God is saying, that's been hypocritical because of the things that you do. The things that you do, and trying to say that because you are keeping the law, the questions they ask, how they treated people, was totally against what God was requiring of them, and also what he's requiring of us as Christians.
Mm-hmm.
Your thoughts?
So it is important for us to hold to the truths of the Word of God. What does the Word of God say? It's we talk about folks who declare the right to life, but yet still over the centuries, we've seen some of these very folks were take part in a lynching, maybe on a Saturday night, and they would be in church on Sunday. So let's not kid ourselves in terms of when we talk about righteousness or use the scripture as is a sort of shield or covering because we go to church. There's a huge difference between going to church and being Christian.
That's right.
And so if God has called us, we ought to be reflective of him. We ought to, our lives should be a reflection of him. And it says to me that, does this candidate care about life? Does this candidate care about the poor? Does this candidate care about those who are hungry? Does this candidate care about the homeless? And so I know for me, those are things that's very important. Because that's what Jesus said. We ought to love one another. We ought to care for each other. And so when I'm choosing a candidate, those are the things that I'm looking at. What do you care about? And if it's just about winning or about those who are wealthy, I don't see where that's, you could support that through the scriptures.
So in other words, you're saying, again, it's not just taking out pieces of the scripture and then forgetting about the rest. It's not about just taking out, the definition of marriage. It's not just taking out not being a friend of Israel. It's not about thou shalt not kill and the abortions, which, frankly speaking, it's distasteful and it's against the word of God. It's strictly against the word of God. But it's also bringing in the other pieces of it. Love for one another, justice and mercy and helping and praying for one another, forgiving one another and loving one another. It's taking everything together. We cannot take out pieces of the scripture and hold on dear to that and leave the rest behind. Is that what I'm hearing?
That is correct.
Yes.
It's very important that we look at the scripture in its totality. Mm-hmm. I might not agree with the lifestyle of some folks, but God says I ought to love them. Mm-hmm. And so I might not agree with the things that you're doing, but God says I ought to love you. And so as a result, I have a responsibility to love you just the same. And I'm not going to hate you. I'm not going to discriminate against you. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to shun you because we don't think the same way. Or your lifestyle is different from mine because the word of God says I ought to love you. Mm. If we look at scripture, the woman who met Jesus at the well, the Lord knew she was a prostitute, but he sat down and he spoke to her. And it is when we sit down and talk with those who might be different from us, or we might not approve of their lifestyle, that then we can bring about a change.
That's true.
Okay. That's so true.
So when we talk about religious liberty, it is more than just words. It is more than just having a church here, but it becomes a lifestyle. Are we able, and they may not be Christian, but they have to have some decency, moral decency. And you need to be able to support my rights as a Christian, as well as my brother who's not a Christian. Because it is only true when we show live a life that is pleasing before the sight of that we'll be able to bring others into the kingdom.
That's good.
So for the person who's listening, Vivillyn, listening to this conversation, and probably will say to us, or I'm going to answer their unspoken question or the question that they will be asking after this. So what do we do as Christians to bring others that are going against the precepts of God? What should we do?
I guess Ron already summed that up somewhat of, you know, we have to pray for them. We have to able to show the love of God. We have to able to, you know, like he mentioned about the lady at the well, Jesus knew that she was a prostitute, but we can't judge people and just, you know, see their outer and not look at their heart and knowing who's this person. Because sometimes, you know, people, you know, you see the outward and you're like, oh, I'm not even going to deal with that person. But God look at the heart. God did that with David when he was going to anoint David for king. You know, when the prophet saw the other brothers, they're like, oh, I know that's the one. But then God was like, no, that's not the one. And when he saw David, he was like more, you know, smaller and don't look kingly. But God sees what's going on. God sees your heart. God sees that you have a heart for him or a heart for people, because those same people are people that he loves. You know, he not only told us to love them, but he also loves them. And we have to get that extra step of saying, you know, you might not agree with what people are doing or saying, but you have to respect their views. You have to hear their views and take in consideration or just agree to disagree. There's nothing wrong with agreeing to disagree. So that's what I would say. We need to start coming to a standpoint of looking and seeing individual as those are the ones that God loves. And if God loves them, that's my job to love them too.
Good, good. So in other words, we have to build relationship before we can even start to share the gospel, because sometimes you just go up to somebody and they may be hungry. They're not going to listen to you because all they're going to be thinking about is the food. So then you feed them and you minister to them.
Definitely. Now, I'm going to go back a little bit on the election. This is another thing that's coming up. You know, you hear in the news right now, they're talking about that there is voter fraud. What is your guys' thoughts on that? What's your opinion on that? There's voter fraud. There's things that's in the news right now saying that people are illegally. My husband was telling me earlier that somebody saw someone burning votes and they said that it's Trump votes. Did you guys hear stuff like this? And what's your thoughts about this topic?
No, I didn't hear that. But the only thing that I could say is, we are doubting the powers of God.
Okay, what do you mean by that?
So, God is able to make things that look impossible possible. And I'm leaving it to him. He allows things to happen. If we have and we believe in the electorate system here in America that has been going on for years, why is it all of a sudden now you're saying that the system does not work? I don't understand it. Is it because it's not going in your favor? Mm-hmm. If it was the other way around, would it be a great system? Or would it still be defective?
That's a thought.
Those are just some questions in my mind that, you know, popped in my mind when you said that.
Mm-hmm. From my perspective, Vivillyn, the elections in this country has always been free and fair throughout the years. I think there's been less than 1% ever recorded of voter fraud. There were recently the voter frauds that I can remember clearly are there were one was in North Carolina, Republican candidate, and I'm only saying that because they were claiming voter fraud, but that's where the voter fraud was found. So I can't, you know, without much research other than what I've read and seen, that voter election or fraud in this country has been free, and it's always been free and fair election. And I hope we never go down the road where we have to start doubting the system.
You know, that's a good point that you brought up too, because then that's the part of our system that we had for years. This is another thing of saying we might have to change our whole democracy for someone or some political party because of things that they're saying. I never even thought about it that way of saying, you know, if they start going down that road, then they're going to start changing laws and changing stuff that been working fine for years, and why is it not working now?
Right.
You know?
I don't think you can describe it as fraud, but if you look back, people of color have always been denied the vote in this country. Mm-hmm. So that's voters. I think voter suppression is a bigger issue than fraud. We've had the poll tax. Mm-hmm. Just the different things that you had to do, the literacy, the tax, the Voter Right Act, which was just recently, states does not have to abide by that, we're under. So it is, I think voter suppression is a bigger issue. Mm-hmm. Where you now have states will not allow, they're reducing the ballot boxes or the places to vote in different counties where it's people of color. That I think is a bigger issue than fraud.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Right. Just to remind our audience, by the time you are listening to this, we may have had a decision as to who the next president is, because we are taping this before the decision is made. So I am not sure if when you're listening to it, our president will be President Trump or it will be President Biden. President-elect Biden or President Trump. One thing I want to tell us is whoever the president is, just as we were praying with such fervency and urgency, we need to continue to pray for our leaders, whoever Sure. it is that is in office. We need to support them in our prayers so that God will, you know, have their heart. And that's what we want to pray about. My second thing before I pass it over to you, Vivian, to close, is that I'm not saying that we should allow things when we see things that's wrong to allow it to continue, because in the end, after a while, then things will have gone degraded so badly. I think we should speak out when we see something that is wrong. Mm-hmm. And we also should pray about it regardless of which party that it is with. Mm-hmm. We should never agree to uphold things that are wrong, because in the end, it will only get worse. And this is why I was very, you know, appalled at how we elevate some of our leaders in the position that almost equal with God. Mm-hmm. In the end, what are we saying? Think about it. When he says we should have no other gods beside him. If we allow this to happen, it's going to be an expectation. At the same time, if we allow things to continue, abortion, same-sex marriage and people to hate on Israel, it will only get worse. And again, we are speaking from a Christian point of view. So as Christians, we have work to do. We need to pray that the hearts of men will turn to God. Because when your heart is pliable and you turn it to God, then you will do the right thing at all times.
Ron, you have any closing statement also before we wrap up?
I'm just hopeful for this country that we will once again move to a sense of decency as a people, that we will realize that we're not enemies, even though we might support different parties, that we can live peacefully together, we can love one another, care for each other, and that those in authority, those in government, those in leadership, from the presidency to the Senate, the House of Representatives, those who make up the Congress, at the state level, the governors, whether it's the those who make up the state Congress, county executive, mayors, and all the officials, that they will begin to do a job which says, I care about the people and do what is right in the sight of God. And it is only by doing so that we will continue to succeed and prosper as a nation. So I pray for our politicians that they will do what is right.
That's good.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And I totally agree what our guests and my co-hosts have said. You know, our job is to pray, and our job is to pray for the president. The heart of the king is in the hands of the Lord, and he directs it wherever he sees fit. And we just pray that they have the heart of God and they do what is right according to what Ron said. And we just thank you once again for joining us today. Like Vilma said, that we don't know who's going to win by the time that you listen to this podcast, but we just know that God is in control and God is not an author of confusion, but he knows who he wants for his time, for this season, and for his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. So once again, this is Life Chat with Vivenville. Thank you for joining us. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.